we're not quite done with biology. I wanted to speak to a scientist who is one of my heroes, the Oxford University biologist Richard Dawkins. A few years ago, Dawkins wrote a book called Unweaving the Rainbow: Science, Delusion, and the Appetite for Wonder. I adored it. Dawkins is a brilliant scientist who is in love with the poetry of the natural world. And he is unique, I think, in how well he conveys that poetry to civilians like me. His magnum opus on evolution, The Ancestor's Tale, a title inspired by Chaucer's A Canterbury Tale, is just out. And I asked Dawkins why he decided to tell the story of evolution working from today backward to the beginning of time.
Okay. Well, if you do history forwards, then it rather gives people the idea that if you end up with humans, as one's tempted to do because we are humans, it rather gives people the idea that evolution is aimed at humans. And that's such a tempting vanity that I wanted to get rid of that right from the start. If you do your history backwards, then no matter where you start, whether you start with humans or bedbugs or earthworms, you always converge eventually on the origin of life. So I decided to do history backwards. It was going to be a pilgrimage to the past. Since we're humans, it should be a human pilgrimage. So we start with humans, we walk backwards in time, and we meet up with other pilgrims. The first pilgrims we meet are the chimpanzees, about 5 million years into the past. Then another 1 million years or so, 2 million years into the past, we greet the gorilla pilgrims, then the orangutans, then the monkeys, and so on back to the bacteria at rendezvous 39. There are only 39 of these rendezvous points on our long, epic pilgrimage to the past. And just like with Chaucer, at each rendezvous point, or rather, of course, Chaucer doesn't have rendezvous, but at each rendezvous point, my pilgrims have the option of telling a tale. And it's those tales, things like the duck-billed platypus's tale, the hippopotamus's tale, the howler monkey's tale. It's these tales which form the main bulk of the book. And they can be read in any order, although they do have this order imposed upon them by the pilgrimage to the past.
And you chose Chaucer's Canterbury Tales because you're English, because those pilgrims were looking for a kind of truth as well?
Well, I think that there's a little bit of that. I mean, Chaucer's Canterbury Tales are the best known pilgrimage story, I suppose, perhaps apart from Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. But Chaucer's Canterbury Tales are best known, and they do give this sense of journey, this sense of travelling. And I wanted to give a sense of travelling, an epic journey, travelling over 4 billion years.
Now, in many of your books, you mention things like the rise of what is called creationism, especially in America. The Christian fundamentalism on that front seems to be winning a battle every month against science. Why do you suppose in this day and age, 150 years after Charles Darwin, that is happening?
I think it's very weird. I should say, by the way, that The Ancestor's Tale is not really a book advocating evolution against creationism. It simply assumes that evolution is true. I mean, evolution is a fact. It's a scientific fact. Some of my other books have been aimed at advocating evolution. This one simply assumes it and looks at the story. I mean, it's something like 47% of Americans, according to a Gallup poll, think that the entire universe began less than 10,000 years ago. That means the universe began later than the Middle Stone Age.
In your book, Unweaving the Rainbow, you find and show us to great effect all of the various wonders of an almost mystical kind that are available to us in a scientific view of the world. And I wondered why the title, why Unweaving the Rainbow?
The word unweaving comes from Keats. Because Keats was sort of, along with several of the Romantic poets, was somewhat anti that aspect of science which he saw as, well, he called it in another poem, murdering to dissect. In that particular case, he was talking about Newton unweaving the rainbow, explaining why the rainbow has its spectrum of colours, and making it seem less beautiful. Keats accused Newton of destroying the beauty of the rainbow. And the purpose of my book, Unweaving the Rainbow, was to say quite the contrary. When somebody like Newton comes along and explains it, it actually increases the beauty. There is great beauty in understanding. There's great beauty in comprehending the grandeur of the universe, the complexity of life, the magnitude of geological time and astronomical space. These are all beautiful themes, worthy subjects for great poetry.
I wonder if part of the problem in the last century isn't that modern science, especially modern physics, is so arcane, so beyond the ability of most people to understand, that it becomes like some arcane modern poetry, which only other poets understand.
Well, there is a risk of that, and I think that's particularly true of modern physics, where they're really quite a rarefied few who fully understand, indeed if anybody understands it. But evolution, natural selection, the history of evolution, the subject of the ancestor's tale, anybody can understand that. Anybody can marvel at it, can wonder at it. And that's my mission, really, is to try to bring people to that understanding.
Richard Dawkins, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much indeed.
The biologist Richard Dawkins' new book is called The Ancestor's Tale.